going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
We have a new candidate for Jerk Air to pass along to you today, but he's going to be indisposed of for a while.
Mm-hmm. Not going to be flying anytime soon.
No, he is not. Here or there. He's from California, and he has just been sentenced for causing an emergency landing at KCI. And then on top of that, he assaulted a police officer. California man will spend 2 years behind bars in Missouri after serving a federal sentence for his role in the plane's emergency landing at KCI. So this is a double whammy here. Juan Rivas Jr. was convicted in March of assaulting an officer and attempting to escape from custody. He was on a flight from L.A. to D.C. when he attempted to open a passenger door and then yelled, "I'm going to kill you all."
They don't appreciate that.
According to Platte County Prosecuting Attorney Eric Zond. Passengers jumped in, subdued him, while the plane made an emergency landing in Kansas City. So this is where KC comes in, because the flight was from LA to DC. He goes all Jerk Air 30,000 feet up, and the plane looks down and goes, where's our closest airport? Right. It's us. So while he was being taken to a police car, he broke free of his handcuffs and assaulted a KCI police officer. He also attempted to grab the officer's weapon and said, "I'm going to escape."
You know how they stopped him on board the plane?
Please tell me.
A flight attendant picked up a coffee pot and whacked him with it.
Is this the coffee pot one?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I remember talking about this. It was like in 2022.
No, 2024.
I remember talking about that when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
She whacked him with a coffee pot. Good. So listen to this. He got a 2-year prison sentence for second-degree assault of a law enforcement officer. He got another year for trying to escape. Those are to run concurrently. That's
good.
On top of the 19 months he got for interfering with flight crews. So this is one of those cases where the feds worked in tandem with Platte County, and he is going away for a long time because of all of the things he did, not only up in the air, but once they landed.
You know, I think once he gets out, we should invite him to fly with us.
We've had a long-standing policy on the Jerk Air board to not have flight attendants, and I understand it's a lawless place. We want to let people hash out their own problems. However, I was thinking, we were talking about the Fight Club teachers.
Oh, the flight attendant with the metal coffee mug, I'm on board.
I think we need her. I think we need the Fight Club teachers. I think we just let them all duke it out, and we have a good time.
I mean, if you're at 36,000 feet, you could have a Fight Club, I think, right?
Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them are flight attendants holding the coffee. By the way, when we flew home from Hilton Head a week and a half ago, I noticed they were pouring very hot coffee and very carefully handing it to the people who asked for it. I've never asked for coffee on a plane because I just assume it's crappy coffee. Are you a little surprised they're still doing coffee service on an airplane?
Speaking of, there was a recent TikToker who is also a flight attendant who said that flight attendants judge passengers who order coffee.
Okay, I saw that and didn't click on the clickbait because
they
said they will judge you if you order this one drink. And I thought, I'm not going to click on that. It's probably vodka.
They say that it is a sketchy beverage. First of all, they had mentioned that, you know, the coffee pots probably don't get cleaned as often as they used to, or they should. And also, yeah, you are then holding a cup of hot liquid in a moving vehicle.
I am really surprised they are still serving it. And the person seated like across the aisle from me ordered it. And I watched the flight attendant carefully into those little crappy thin plastic cups, carefully poured it in there, carefully handed it over to her with a napkin. And I thought, this isn't about you ordering your coffee. This is about you sitting next to me. We hit a bump and now that goes all over me.
Why is it that everybody orders ginger ale on a plane?
Listen to this, Sam. I cannot believe you just said that.
I do.
When we were flying the last time, I said, I think I want a ginger ale. And Johnny looked at me like I was crazy. He goes, really? I did not have that on my bingo card. You want a ginger ale? I go, yeah. What is it about an airplane? It kind of sounds good. I came back home and started buying it, and now it's in our fridge because I stopped Diet Coke.
Good for you. That's awesome.
And not that ginger ale's any. And I try to get the one without aspartame in it.
Now, I think I'm the anomaly where I do drink ginger ale and ginger beer off of an airplane. I also drink it on an airplane. But I've heard studies before that say that ginger ale is the most ordered drink.
Do you know ginger ale beer is not beer?
Right.
Ginger beer is not beer.
That's correct, yeah.
I never knew that.
It's just spicy ginger ale.
So ginger ale, ginger, this is like a combination of old wives' tales and actual science.
A little bit of both in there?
Right. Ginger is believed to help with motion sickness and nausea. Common side effects for some people of air travel. And the ginger ale with the bubbliness, the potential to soothe the stomach. And so it all kind of wraps together and people would just go, oh, I'll have a ginger ale.
I'll have a ginger ale.
My stomach.
I bet you there is more ginger ale sold at 30,000 feet than down here below. I really do. Because you're right,
possibly.
Sam. Everyone orders it on a plane.
Always.
I do.
That's so interesting.
I'll have a ginger ale, please. Can I get the whole can room temp?
Don't get a coffee. That's gross.
And then here's a pro tip hack. Hot water on a plane. Get the cup of noodles.
Oh.
It's cheaper than some of the other stuff, and it's very filling.
Well, you could also bring on a cup of noodles with the hot water.
Well, sure, you can. I mean, if you're going to order something on the plane,
I don't know we want to be mixing food next to our seatmates.
I thought we were trying to avoid the hot liquid.
The scalding hot liquid that you pour on Marge next to you.
And on your next flight, bring a tuna salad sandwich.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. Could you microwave this for me?
Speaking of travel, there is a new survey out. It's a Bankrate. We trust those people. And travel this summer is down. Fewer than half of Americans plan to travel this summer, citing cost as the number one concern. In fact, only 46% of U.S. adults say they plan to travel this summer. Many of those not planning to do so cite affordability as the factor keeping them home. At 65%, that was the number one reason listed. With travel costs remaining high, you may find yourself wondering how people can afford their getaways. It turns out nearly 3 in 10 plan to take on debt to book their trips.
I believe it. They're also finding that more and more people are willing to spend a little bit more on the plane ticket to go overseas than to travel here in the States because it's going to be so much cheaper when you get to your destination rather than flying to, say, you know, a Miami where everything's going to be ridiculously expensive.
I read a story the other day. I think it was Forbes or maybe Washington Post. I'd have to go back and look. Where they interviewed a couple, 60 years old, and they decided to retire not in California where they lived, which you can understand retiring in California is going to be expensive. They decided to retire, I don't even remember the country, but it was somewhere that Dana could not find on a map. And what they said was their Social Security dollars overseas went 10 times as far as it would over here. They don't have transportation costs because I'm assuming it's somewhere over in Europe, but nowhere she like Milan. I mean, they were in what looked like a smaller village.
And you still get your Social Security benefits.
But, Sam,
as an American citizen,
you paid into that your entire life. You're damn right you get those benefits.
So it could be Social Security or any kind of cash that they have. It's going to go farther because of the exchange rate.
They were talking about doing the math, and they said, we looked at everything. We looked at travel. We looked at transportation costs. We looked at food. Mm-hmm. All of those things were significantly cheaper overseas.
I mean, if you live modestly, you know, All what do you need now? You need a place to sleep. You need a bathroom. You need a kitchen. You might need some transportation, maybe.
So I want to talk about this. Why is it easier in your mind to live modestly overseas when we could all do the exact same thing here? We could all downsize here and go live in a one-bedroom apartment somewhere here, live out your retirement years high on the hog. Nobody does that. Instead, people are going, oh, we should go overseas.
Have you seen the cost of rent for a one-bedroom apartment?
It's astronomical.
You also know a lot more people here to, quote, keep up with the Joneses. When you go there, you don't know anybody. There's nothing to compare yourself to but yourself.
I don't know that I could do it, but in reading their financial reasoning behind it, and they were truly retired. They're not still, you know, mobile working a couple days a week. They truly were retired. I certainly understand the draw. I don't think I could do it. I could do it for maybe a year, but I don't know that I could actually do it.
Here?
Well, my adult children. I couldn't leave them.
Sure. Besides family,
but if I took family out of it, what would I miss?
Right. Take out family, take out the job, and you go and live overseas somewhere. You get a nice little apartment, and you've got your money. What would you miss over here?
The Chiefs.
You can watch that on the internet.
By the way, 16% of respondents said they aren't traveling this summer because they can't get time off work. And there is another study in the stack about more and more people feeling anxious about using their rightfully earned PTO.
And which generation do you think has more anxiety over taking off work? Because I read that study, Sam, and I do think it will surprise you.
The millennials.
And let me ask you, do you have 2 weeks off a week, year, five, four? My son at one point worked somewhere where they had all kinds of vacation. They couldn't use it. They were so understaffed.
It never got approved.
You couldn't take a day off. Yeah. And then you felt bad because you were hosing your coworkers if you did. It's no way to live. 913-586-7798. We'll get to that story and much more straight ahead.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay. Which generation is most likely to feel guilty about taking paid time off? And they are younger than you might think. People are having vacation remorse It is a known fact that working Americans rarely use their PTO. However, one generation in particular feels the most guilty when they finally take that long-awaited vacation, according to a new study. Survey conducted by YouGov on behalf of iced tea brand Half Day. Sam, excuse me.
I've never heard of that brand, but...
Why is an iced tea company funding a study about time off?
Trying to promote people taking the day off.
The study revealed that 58% of U.S. millennials do not take a day off without feeling bad about it. And the survey sample here size was 4,000 participants. They were asked, what level of guilt do you feel when taking any time off, specifically for pleasure? Those born between 1981 and 1996 responded the most, saying they were hard on themselves when they took a well-deserved break from work.
The millennials, huh?
Yeah. Only 55% of Gen Zers felt self-inflicted guilt. Boomers, hell no. They're booking that vacation. They ain't looking back.
Oh, they've been working hard for 40 years.
Right. Almost none of them felt remorseful about using their PTO days. We could frame this one or two different ways. I have always said, and I will scream it from the rooftops, that at the point that any of us are laid off or fired, you are not going to get that time back.
Right.
And the company that you work for, I don't care who you work for, big company, small company, no one is going to feel guilty the day that they cut you loose and say, God, man, we would really like to pay you for all of those days you left on the table.
And if you get it, use it. It's there for a reason. It's supposed to be used as a reset.
Proponent of using.
Oh, we know.
All that you are given. I'm telling you, I don't feel bad about it. I don't shy away from it when it comes to taking the time. I really don't. Except, Sam, here's the except. If you ask me, do I feel bad because I know it makes life harder for you and Scott? Yes.
Do I feel guilty?
Do I feel bad as, you know, because the company I'm using the days off I've been allotted? Hell no.
Right. No, but I feel very guilty, and you know, I'm a control freak.
And Scott do a great job of saying, yeah. Hey, do you mind if I take this day? Absolutely not. Do you mind if I take this day? Absolutely not. Please knock yourself out. And we all communicate that, and we didn't do as good about that, I think, in the beginning. We're now really good about keeping that calendar.
I have been known on vacation to pull up my phone to make sure that whoever is filling in for me is pushing the dang buttons at the right time.
I have been known, correct me if I'm wrong, I constantly send content your all's way.
You do.
Right, yes. Before I leave, sometimes when I'm on vacation, I'm better about it now. I'm trying to be better and more present, not being on my phone as much.
Got to separate.
But if I see something, I'll screenshot it and send it to you guys. Is that guilt or is that just being a good coworker and friend?
I mean, I think a lot of it with the anxiety about it today is that we have been shown as employees, and I don't mean us at this company in particular, I just mean in society, that we are expendable.
According,
so if you can be gone for 5, 6, 7 days, you're proving to the company that are you really that necessary? And that's where that fear comes from.
Okay, but this proves my point. According to a 2024 report, 62% of Americans leave many PTO days on the table every year. That number is almost doubled within the past 4 years. 62%, not 1 or 2 days. You are leaving many days. And we can talk about the definition of many, but it ain't going to be two. That's probably 5. And that breaks my heart because you're not getting that time back. There will come a day for some of us. Hopefully you just get to retire and leave on your own terms. There will come a day for many of us where someone else decides you are done and you will not get that time back.
Now, there's a great point from the text line. For you guys, someone does your job or fills in your place when you take that time off. But for a vast majority of people, that is not the case. I know many people in my life who work in like technology sales per se. And when they are off for a week, 2 weeks for vacation, they put their out of office on and somebody else is supposed to pick up that workload.
Right.
Well, when they come back 4 days later or whatever, every single email that was supposed to be addressed by somebody else just flat out wasn't addressed. And so now they are neck deep in work for the next 6 weeks trying to catch up for the fact that they just took 4 days off.
I don't know. Also, if you're an hourly worker or if you are in sales, I will give you this because my dad was in sales his entire life. If you're not selling, you are not making money.
Oh, realtors. I mean,
if you're not selling,
yeah,
you're not making money. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. Welcome on back. We're going to wrap up our conversation here about those of us who feel guilty about taking your PTO, that which your company affords you, and those who don't.
By the way, the study that we were reading from was brought to you by Half Day Iced Tea.
Yeah, take it's that for
just
whatever
it's worth. Regular iced tea. I don't know why they're talking about time off work.
Very random.
I was thinking maybe it was spiked iced tea, and they were trying to, you know, say to have a cold one.
So it's the millennials that say they feel the most guilt taking time off. And I wonder if that's because they're just sort of getting started in their career. I don't know. I didn't feel guilty about taking time off back then either. Let's go to Ann in Greenwood. Welcome on in, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm of the boomer generation, kind of the end of it, but I am of the boomer generation. But years ago when I worked for a company, what they did was they gave us every year an outline of what all our benefits added up to monetarily wise. That included our, they paid for our insurance. They gave us, you know, vacation time, sick time, money that they put towards our pension, all that down to the penny of what it actually cost them to give us that benefit. And this was over 30 years ago, and it added $10,000 to $12,000 to your quote-unquote salary. So I don't think people think of that in those terms, is that when they don't use their PTO, you are wasting your money.
I have never thought about it that way, Ann, but if you look at the benefit of your time off as the cost of working that, let's say you just take 5 days off, five work days off. If you look at the cost of that 40 hours, and let's pick a round number, whatever you want to make that, let's say it's $1,000. I don't know what it is. If you look at the cost of that 40 hours and ask yourself, if the company handed you $1,000, would you decline that and hand it back? Everyone would say no.
Correct. So I think if more and more companies did that, more and more people would take their time off. I am a firm believer. I've always have been. You work 50 or so hours a year. You should take that time off and take it off without guilt, because you're basically shortchanging yourself by not taking that time.
I love the call, and thank you. Thank you for it, Ann.
From the text line, PTO is not paid time off. What do you think PTO stands for?
I just call it vacation. PV, that's Prairie Village, or paid vacation.
What does the P and the T stand? Paid time?
I don't know.
Off?
Update to a story that I think Dan had in his newscast earlier. We wondered about making this a topic, but I don't know what we would say about it. Here's the update. A Kansas City, Missouri funeral home has suspended operations.
Oh my gosh.
Following an investigation by our friends over at Channel 9. Ooh, this one is tough. It is Savory and Sons Funeral Home. They announced on social media that their business will cease operations. Why, you ask? Oh, wait. The announcement came after family members of a woman who died here went to see what was going on at the funeral home with their loved one's remains, and they saw her through a window uncovered and in a state that no one should have to see their loved one 3 weeks after her funeral.
Yeah. And she was supposed to be cremated, correct?
This is the deal. If you're wondering, well, why would the body be there after a funeral?
Right.
Yes, she was supposed to be cremated. So the family is waiting on
the cremains. Yep.
And they're not hearing back, not getting the answers they want. So they physically go there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, again, 3 weeks after the funeral, their loved one is visible through the window.
Yeah, they can see her sitting on the table inside the facility. Well, laying.
So, my God. they talked to the president of the Missouri-Kansas Funeral Directors and Embalmers Association. And the association issued a news release offering assistance to families affected, plural, families affected. There's another victim in this case. His name is Sean Pearson, and he came forward and talked to Channel 9, said that in February, he and his wife withdrew $5,200 from their retirement savings to pay for his mother's funeral. He said the home promised flowers, didn't deliver them. The casket broke while being moved, and the service ended up being held at a different cemetery than promised. He also said the people with Savory arrived 2 hours late to the funeral. Quoting here from Mr. Pearson, "My main concern now is I don't know if she's really in the casket because he would not let me see her."
Pretty sure it's common practice to be able to see your deceased loved one.
So, look, the Missouri/Kansas Funeral Directors and Embalmers Association is asking families that had any dealings with this funeral home to contact them. And it looks like the number's out of Jeff City. It's a 573 number.
What is it with allegedly iffy funeral homes of late?
Well, so listen to this, Sam. The same board, the Missouri-Kansas Funeral Directors and Embalmers Association, has had Savory and Sons on disciplinary probation since the business opened less than 5 years ago. And so, you know, I don't know
cutting that corners allegedly.
One of the reasons I didn't want to make this a topic is because it really gets into the weeds of the regulation arm of the funeral industry. And I think when there's especially a sudden death, do you just ask friends like, okay, what funeral home did you use? Do you Google it?
Yeah.
And then how many of us would even think in our time of grief, Sam, to look up the Missouri-Kansas Funeral Directors and Embalmers Association and see if they're on probation?
I wonder how they rank on the BBB.
Or is it that hospitals have, this is something contracts. I would ask. Do hospitals have contracts? Why were loved ones sent to this place? Because if you're a hospital and you have a contract and someone dies, I don't know that you would want to be in the business of sending the decedents that maybe passed in your hospital to a place that's on disciplinary probation.
And I'm sure that these stories are all over the internet. You know, maybe if this was 25 years ago, it would be hard to figure out that there was some under the table stuff going on at some of these funeral homes. But now, when people are wronged, the first thing they do is go to social media to shout about it. And so
I just don't know what these families are going to do for this poor man who says he does not know if his mother is in that casket. Do you start exhuming bodies to figure out who's who? And where was this place located?
Here in the metro.
Let me look. It is in Kansas City, Missouri. Let me look it up. Savory Funeral Home, KC. Okay, they're currently, it has a 4-star Google review. I'm not so sure that that's up to date. This is in the 12,000 block of East 43rd. So anyway, if you are involved in this, you certainly know they are looking to hear from you, and I cannot even imagine.
Right off 40 Highway, just south of I-70.
Good God.
If you're familiar with the area, there's a big Walmart over there, the big Blue Ridge Tower. It is just east of that.
All right. More questions, I think, than answers in the Missouri home explosion that we have been following out of Lexington. There is a little bit of an update, and then I have some questions for any of you who work with utility marking, utility digging, all of those things. This story is from, I think this was Channel 9. It's been nearly 2 weeks since a house explosion in Lexington, Missouri, claimed the life of a 5-year-old boy and critically injured his father and sister. Jacob Cunningham, the surviving father of the two children, has filed a lawsuit on behalf of himself and his surviving 10-year-old daughter, Cammie, as well as his five-year-old son, Alistair. Just absolutely a devastating story. The lawsuit names 4 of the companies involved in the gas line break that preceded the explosion. The rubble remains around Cunningham's home, as do neighbors' questions about how his house exploded. Pardon me, this is Channel 41. Quoting here from Sarah Rodriguez, a neighbor, a Lexington resident, something could have been done beforehand. So listen to this, and we went over this a couple days ago, but I have some more specific questions now that we have a better understanding of the time frame of what happened here. Before any company digs underground, it has to file notice with Missouri 811. And they did that in this case. Public records paint a clearer picture now of wind fiber optic company Alfra and utility company Liberty Gas alerted 811 after the gas line break. Alfra filed a notice 5 days prior saying, look, we're going to dig here. Utility crews marked and painted the area 2 days before the dig.
And typically they will say, we're going to be digging all up and down the street. So they will mark an entire block to make sure that they don't have to come back out and do it again.
Both are common procedures. And according to the president of the group that oversees all of this stuff, he says as far as the notification process, the excavators and the utilities all interacted within the system responsibly and correctly. There's no errors here. Now let's get to the day of the blast. That's when we're going to start talking error. At 4:21, write that down. At 4:21 p.m.
Okay.
On April 9th, Alfra Communications called 811 to report damage to the gas line. And I want to be clear because in that report, Sam, this is the language that was used. One report I saw said gas is blowing. And the Kansas City Star said specifically it is spewing out.
Meaning it was not just a crack in the line. It was a solid break in the line.
It was a blow.
Yeah.
Hit a gas line. It is spewing out in the alleyway. The call there was 4:14 p.m. to Lexington Police and Fire. So up to this point, everyone has done what they are supposed to do. The digging, the marking, all of those things. Then when the gas line is hit, police are called. Up to this point, everything, as far as procedure, appears to have gone the way it should. Each time an agency was asked to respond to the scene of the gas leak and the subsequent explosion, 3.5 hours later, a log was created, according to the Kansas City Star. They looked at the logs. Those call reports show when an agency was requested to report the scene and oftentimes why. Only a few minutes later, Missouri's 811 received a call alerting that a worker subcontracted by Sellenreich Construction had damaged the gas line while excavating.
By the way, the text line says that blowing is a specific term in that field. It means an unabated flow of gas.
An unabated flow of gas.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where I need someone to explain to me what the heck happened after 4:21 p.m.
And why didn't the gas company go upstream, per se, of that gas flow and shut it off entirely?
3.5 hours passed before that child was killed. Sister and father narrowly escaped death. 20 homes are damaged. Forget the property damage. I know that's important. But a child died. And no one will answer the question, why were those homes not evacuated? In fact, everyone locally is saying, the NTSB is handling this now. Don't ask us. No one will comment locally. Ask the NTSB.
Was anyone from the gas company on scene when it happened?
I think everyone was on scene when it happened, Sam.
Because from the text line, and apparently this person works in the industry, they seem to know a lot or they claim to know a lot. They say that main line could have been immediately pinched off to stop the leak. They say that it is a plastic tube inside a metal tube, and they have a special tool specifically for incidents like this to pinch off that plastic tube to keep the gas from coming out.
So I have many questions, and please call if you work in this industry and you can remain anonymous at 913-586-7798. If, in fact, it was pinched off, is it possible that it was not shut off at the source at the house? Because the house where we've been told the gas will travel the path of least resistance.
It follows the outside of the line.
It followed the outside of the line all the way into this poor family's house. And I think we read somewhere dad went to light a cigarette or
flipped on a light switch.
Was it a light switch?
Yeah.
And boom, here we are. So today, A spokesperson with the NTSB said questions regarding why homes weren't evacuated and what took place from the time the gas line was damaged to about 7:45 when the home exploded are part of their ongoing investigation. Because, Sam, one of the things I want to get to the bottom of, neighbors were never told, hey, by the way, you need to evacuate. No one ever said that. Neighbors were calling police to say, it smells like gas. What, you know, what's going on? They were told, yeah, there's a gas leak. Oh, okay. Well, and?
Don't go flipping any light switches or go down and turn your pilot light off on your water heater.
I want to know, in the industry, whose job is it to go door to door and say, we have gas spewing? Some of the people were inside their homes, didn't even smell gas. Whose job is it to alert the residents? Does the gas company go door to door? Do police go door to door? Does fire go door to door? Or was everyone pointing at somebody else thinking they had done it? Because 3.5 hours passed.
And had they had somebody on scene that could have pinched off the line, none of this would have happened.
Or was the line pinched and the gas was flowing for such a long time into the house and it was not cut off at the side of the house that that home exploded? That's my other question. Why didn't 10 homes explode? 913-586-7798. We'll take your calls on that straight ahead. Stick with us. So we will monitor and keep our eye on that investigation as it progresses. I was pleasantly surprised to see that a preliminary report from the NTSB is due May 9th. That is an incredibly, incredibly fast turnaround.
Yeah.
So we'll let you know. Did you guys hear that the FDA is now rolling out plans to remove artificial dyes from U.S. foods?
Oh, good.
Yes. Listen to this. Are we like the last place that has not done this?
There are a number of other countries that have lists like, I don't know, 40, 50 items long of banned food dye products. For whatever reason, for all these years, decades, we've been like, yeah, it's all right. We'll keep putting it in there. It's a safe amount.
Well, so listen to this. The thumbnail photo that comes with the story is Peeps. So all you people that love Peeps, I ain't one of them, that apparently has the dye we're talking about. So today, the FDA commissioner outlined new regulatory steps that will target artificial food colorings. Officials are now moving forward with plans to eliminate artificial food dyes in the U.S. food supply. Now, listen to this quote and read between the lines here. The commissioner says, and I quote, "There is no one ingredient that accounts for the child chronic disease epidemic. And let's be honest, taking petroleum-based food dyes out of the food supply is not a silver bullet that will instantly make America's children healthy. But it is one important step."
Red dye 40, yellow 5. Do some research on your own. I won't tell you what they do to kids' minds, but
This is going to come pretty quickly. They are eliminating red dye number 40, yellow number 5 and 6. Blue number 1 and 2 and green number 3 by the end of next year. They are also asking for companies to remove red number 3 sooner.
Good.
Speaking of colors, when we get back, scientists say they have discovered a new one. What? What? Oh, and then my high school.
Is it yellow orange?
It's not, Sam.
Is it
yellow orange?
Chartreuse.
Or red orange yellow. Also, my alma mater is in the news, and my God, it's not good. It is not good. Can we not just be done with the promposal overall? We're going to talk about that as well. Straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Time for the news. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.